Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
A factual data creation facility production.
Recorded very much alive in front of a competent computer monitor, it's this week's episode of the OFNT podcast. Now here's your host, a man who's still trying to find a way to navigate through this crazy world we live in, Jim Schaefer.
Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 286, which I'm calling iPhone Event After Party. Yeah, I thought that title was far better than what it was originally going to be, which was iPhone Event Hangover. Well, I'm neither partying nor am I hungover, but my bank account is in mourning because of the purchases I made after the event. On this episode, I give you my 2 cents on the iPhone event. I'd have given you more, but 2 cents is all I have left in my bank account. I do have other than Apple news, but not much. This week I'm back on the old Electrovoice RE20, a.k.a. The Legend. Okay, the old vocal cords are sufficiently warmed up, so what do you say we get started?
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Tech news. Well, Tuesday, September 9th has come and gone, and with it, the annual Apple iPhone event. I watched it from beginning to end and was left with the feeling that the whole presentation was kind of rushed and somewhat truncated. As usual, I won't be going into great detail as far as specifications go. I'll run down the features I find most interesting and leave the in-depth analysis to the people who make a living doing that sort of thing. Now, I can give you my in-depth analysis, but I don't think you'd care about that much.
No.
Anyway, the event opened as it usually does, with old bow-legged Tim Cook, who to me looked older and even more bow-legged than he usually does, telling us how great Apple is and how much we will appreciate all the new products being introduced. He harped on a bit about iOS 26.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, he actually did say that during his opening monologue. And then it was on with the show. First to be announced was the third generation of the AirPods Pro. You know, I'm kind of excited about these earbuds. More excited than I thought I'd be. Apple claims to have changed the shape of these new Pros in order to make them fit better over a larger range of ears. This is based on data accumulated by scanning the ears of over 100,000 people. I'm one of the few who could never get a good fit with previous models of AirPods, be they regular or Pro models. And I'll probably continue being so. I also was never able to get a good seal with the ear tips provided with the AirPods Pro. I always wound up having to purchase third-party ear tips, usually made of foam. Apple has addressed this too by infusing the ear tips that come with the new AirPods with foam and adding 2 additional sizes. I assume you'll get extra, extra small, small, medium, and large tips. Heart rate monitoring is the new big feature added, but it's kind of redundant if you also wear an Apple Watch. That's because heart rate monitoring will always default to the watch. Apple never addressed this, and it really wasn't made clear during the event, as video was shown of users using both the AirPods Pro and the Apple Watch while working out. Apple needs to clarify the advantages of this, if there are any. Real-time language translation is another big feature demonstrated for the AirPods Pro, but we've seen demonstrations like this before, mostly from Google. And language translation never seems to work as seamlessly in real life as it does during these demos. Besides, the number of languages available for translation is very small, limiting the usefulness of this feature. I might add that if you reside within the EU, real-time translation is not yet coming for you.
Oh no!
Battery life has been increased to 8 hours, which is always welcomed, and the price? $269. That's the same as the previous models of AirPods Pro. The new charging case is actually larger than before, though it's lighter, and the manual pairing button is now capacitive. If these new AirPods actually do fit my, well, according to Apple, unusually shaped ears, there would be no reason to buy a new pair of Beats Fit Pros. I could just use the AirPods for both normal use and exercising. More on this later. You know, my first pair of in-ear headphones were a pair of Ultimate Ears. That was before Logitech bought the company. I had lost my current headphones and hastily stopped at a Radio Shack on my way to work and purchased a pair. I had no problems getting a proper seal with them, which makes me wonder. Next on the docket was the Apple Watch 11. Well, the Series 11, I guess, is the official name of it. Surprisingly, it will be powered by the same S10 chip that powered last year's model. And this is the first time this has happened in Apple Watch history. Improvements are a ceramic coating for better protection of the display, 5G cellular connectivity, blood pressure monitoring.
Yay!
Well, sort of. A sleep score, and 24-hour battery life. The blood pressure monitoring will just keep tabs on your blood pressure and let you know if you're showing signs of hypertension. It's better than nothing, and in reality, it's the correct way of implementation. If you already have hypertension, something that I've battled in the past, it's better to use equipment dedicated to blood pressure monitoring for accurate readings. Over the years, Apple has borrowed many UI features from the Aura Smart Ring software, especially concerning sleep tracking. One of the features of Aura's software is the daily sleep score. Well, the Apple Watch Series 11 now provides the same thing. The sleep score graphic itself is different than Aura's, but the rest of the app sleep tracking graphics look, well, identical. I foresee some sort of legal issues in the future. I've never used my Apple Watch for sleep tracking because I also have an Aura Smart Ring. It's just easier and more comfortable wearing a ring than a watch while sleeping. Perhaps in the near future, I'll wear both and do a comparison of the results. The Apple Watch Series 11 will start at $399. Next, it was the new Apple Watch SE's turn. And yeah, my prediction of Apple changing the name to the Apple Watch E-Series was wrong. I had figured that Apple would align the SE watch with the new E-Series of phones and kill off the SE name completely. The Apple Watch SE will get the same S10 chip.
Wow!
Also have the always-on screen of the Series 11.
Wow!
Get fast charging capability and have 18 hours of battery life. Instead of all the health monitoring features of the standard watch, the SE will get a watered-down version of them called Vitals, which is good enough for the young, healthy people this model is aimed at versus old farts like myself, who can use the advanced health monitoring of the standard series of Apple Watches. The SE is an affordable alternative with a good balance of compromises. The Apple Watch SE 3 starts at $250. That's a bargain for what you're getting. The Apple Watch SE won't be getting updated annually like the Ultra and regular watches. Instead, it will be on a release schedule similar to the old SE series of iPhones. This makes me wonder if the E series of phones will also follow suit, adopting that same release pattern, which followed an 18 to 24 month or sometimes more months between updates. I guess we'll find out next spring. The one negative of the Apple Watch SE 3 is its chassis is still based on the Series 4.
Oh no!
I guess Apple still has a lot of Series 4 spare parts laying around. To Watch Ultra 3 finished off the watch part of the event. It gained a slightly larger screen, featuring what Apple is calling wide-angle OLED, which makes the display more readable from different angles. It gained 5G connectivity along with a satellite connectivity, and will have 42 hours of battery life.
Whoa!
Like all watches introduced at this event, the Ultra 3 will be powered by the S10 chip. I guess this chip consolidation makes business sense. The Apple Watch Ultra 3 will start at $799, which is quite stiff. Perhaps I'll just be patient and wait for some of its features to trickle down to the regular series of Apple Watches.
Yes!
The spotlight was next shown upon the iPhone lineup, with the basic iPhone going first.
As is usual.
The iPhone regular will rock a 6.3-inch ProMotion display, which includes a 120Hz screen refresh rate.
Well, it's about darn time.
Yes, it is. The screen will also have an anti-glare coating.
What?
Along with 3,000 nits of brightness.
Whoa!
Yeah, that puts it up there with the big guys. The screen will feature better scratch resistance, and the phone will have better battery life. The two rear cameras are 48-megapixel fusion cameras, and the front shooter is a center stage one which features a square sensor instead of a round one.
So what's the difference between these sensors?
Well, with the help of Apple Intelligence, you'll no longer have to take selfies and videos holding the phone horizontally in order to include everyone. It's kind of a neat trick. You can now do what Apple is calling dual capture video, where you can record from both front and back cameras simultaneously.
Okay.
I'm sure that's something someone will appreciate, I guess. All of this and more can be had starting at $799.
What? That's the same price of an Apple Watch Ultra 3.
Yeah, right? What surprised many is that the base model storage starts at 256 gigs.
Wow!
In my opinion, this is the most compelling model of iPhone this year. It ticks all of the boxes and then some for normal everyday consumers. I mean, if you choose this model, you're not really compromising on anything. This has me rethinking my future strategy of eventually downgrading my phone to an E-series. Next was the highlight of the event. Ladies and gentlemen, and all those in between, I give you the iPhone 17 Air. Yes, it was actually called the iPhone Air, and yes, the phone is unbelievably thin. The chassis of the Air consists of a titanium frame enclosed within a hard ceramic coating. And Apple says it's the most durable iPhone ever made.
Is it really?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. The display is 6.5 inches and features the same 3,000 nits brightness and 120Hz refresh rate of the basic iPhone. The iPhone Air is powered by an A19 Pro chip with 5 GPU cores. For the first time, Apple's own N1 wireless chip and C1X modem chip are included. Note that the C1X modem chip cannot do millimeter wave cellular, if that's important to you, but boasts twice the speed of the original C1 chip. The N1 is for Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and hasn't been put to the test yet in the real world. The Air has a single 48-megapixel fusion camera around back, and the same updated center stage camera as the base iPhone. Of course, it can do that dual capture video also. It's eSIM only, and Apple claims the phone is capable of getting all-day battery life. And that's something I strongly doubt. My iPhone 15 Pro Max barely gets through the day without needing a touch-up charge, for Pete's sake. And that's with moderate old fart usage. I'm not doom-scrolling on social media or participating in any text message groups. Unlike all the other iPhones ever made, the iPhone 17 Air only has one speaker, which is a no-go for me.
I presume most people will be wearing earbuds for listening to content.
Yeah, in the past, that would have been true for me also. But since becoming ungainfully employed, I find myself listening to music and podcasts using my phone speakers a lot more than I used to. Primarily when I'm getting ready in the morning or preparing myself for bed. Along with the iPhone 17 Air, a low-profile battery pack was introduced and can only be used with the iPhone 17 Air, which shows you how much confidence Apple has in this phone's battery life. A bumper case for the Air was also introduced.
You're holding it wrong.
Yeah, that brought back memories of AntennaGate. Some different, and in my opinion, nonsensical cases and crossbody straps were also introduced, but I see no use for them. The iPhone 17 Air starts at $999, and like the poor person's iPhone, starts with 256 gigs of storage. After the excitement of the 17 Air announcement, it was iPhone Pro time, which was more subdued and low-key compared to the introduction of the 17 Air. The regular Pro features a 6.3-inch ProMotion display, of course also with that 120Hz screen refresh rate. A 6-core A19 Pro chip powers it, and note the extra core over the 5-core A19 Pro chip in the 17 Air, and comes in three colors, orange, silver, and blue.
What? No black or space gray as Apple calls it?
Nope. I've always had black iPhones, so I guess it'll be an end of an era for me. At least until I downgrade my phone in the coming years. The 17 Pro abandons the titanium frame construction of previous Pro models in favor of aluminum. The reason given for this switch is the better heat distribution properties of aluminum. It will have the same front-facing camera of all other iPhone models and have three, count them three, 48-megapixel fusion cameras around back. I'm not going to go into the individual specifications of the cameras.
Thank you.
But you'll get a telephoto, wide-angle, and ultra-wide-angle lens. Improved battery life, which is a good thing, was also harped on. The iPhone 17 Pro starts at $1,099 with 256 gigs of storage. There was no dedicated announcement for the iPhone 17 Pro Max, probably because unlike previous years, well, there's just no difference between the Pro and the Max, except for screen size, which is 6.9 inches, and price, which is $1,199.
What?
Whoa!
What we didn't get during this event was Apple Intelligence updates, a smaller dynamic island, and no 8K video recording capability for the Pro series. For me, the star of this event wasn't the iPhone 17 Air.
Nope.
It was the base iPhone, which almost matches the Pro lineup, except for the processor, one less camera, and most likely less RAM.
It's been confirmed. 8 gigs for the base model, 12 gigs for the rest.
Okay, good to know. These things won't be missed by the average iPhone user. One of these days, I'll have to make the long journey to the closest Apple store and check out this new base model. That's to see if it passes the solidness test, which is where I compare it to my very first iPhone, the iPhone 4S. That phone and the current Pro models have a solid feel to them, noticeable especially while texting. The last base iPhone I used was the iPhone 13, which failed that test. Regardless, I see what Apple seems to be doing here. For those on a budget, the E-Series iPhone, base model iPad, AirPods 4, and Apple Watch SE will be available. This will soon be joined by a MacBook based on an A chip instead of the usual M chip. For general consumers, the base model iPhone, iPad Air, MacBook Air, AirPods 4, and regular Apple Watch. For those who care about fashion, well, you can always substitute the new iPhone Air. For Pro users, of course, it will be the iPhone Pro, iPad Pro, MacBook Pro, AirPods Pro, and Apple Watch Ultra. As far as desktops go, the iMac and Mac Mini are made for general consumers, while the Mac Studio and Mac Pro are for those who use their computers to earn a living. So, did you watch the Apple event? What did you think? With all the new features announced for the new AirPods Pro and Apple Watches, owners of older models should be feeling a bit of envy. Well, according to a couple of articles from MacRumors.com, they shouldn't. That's because owners of the second-generation AirPods Pro and AirPods 4 will also be getting the new live translation feature. Not only that, but owners of Apple Watch Series 9, 10, and the Ultra 2 will be getting the hypertension notifications introduced for the new Series 11 and Ultra 3 models.
Huh, that's very un-Apple-like, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Actually, it's very unlike any general big corporation. Now, I'm not complaining about this. It was a very pleasant surprise. It's sure nice of Apple to throw consumers a bone for a change. Let's hope they continue doing so. In some bad news for Android users, especially long-time users, AndroidAuthority.com reports that Nova Launcher is shutting down after 14 years. In case you're unaware, a launcher is software that resides on top of the Android mobile operating system that allows you to select apps, settings, etc. One of the many cool things about Android back in the beginning was the ability to customize the launcher of your phone. Nova Launcher was one of the most popular of these custom launchers. I know I played around with Nova during my early Android days. Well, in 2022, Nova was acquired by an analytics company named Branch. And like many acquisitions of this type, let the development of Nova wither and die on the Branch. Pun intended. It got to the point that Nova founder Kevin Barry was the sole person working on the Nova launcher. Mr. Barry was promised that if he ever left Branch, the Nova launcher would become open source. Prior to his departure, Mr. Barry started the preparations for Nova becoming open source. Branch, however, went back on its promise and ordered Barry to stop all work on Nova. While this whole situation is sad, well, you could see this day coming. As Android became more mainstream and not just for the hobbyist, most consumers didn't bother with customizing their phones. In the interim, Google and other companies stepped up their game and started improving their own launchers. I myself stopped messing around with custom launchers when I got my Nexus 6 back in 2014. Now, there are still custom launchers to be had, but Nova was one of the oldest and probably the best. Times change, unfortunately. See what I mean about iOS and Android becoming more and more alike? Eventually, they'll intersect. I've always been a fan of Android phones from Sony, especially their Xperia line of Android smartphones. I've never owned one. That's because they were too expensive for me at the time. At one point, Sony offered a mid-Xperia range here in the United States. I don't recall what year that was, but I remember checking that lineup out at a Best Buy mobile store at my local mall. I was considering the purchase of one for one of my daughters. The iPhone was gaining preeminence, though, and both of my daughters wanted an iPhone or nothing. So that's what they got. Only kidding. Sony eventually left the U.S. market, but maintained a foothold barely in Europe. A recent article on 9to5google.com highlights a mid-range lineup of Xperia phones just released in Japan, the UK, and Europe. Though the standard boxy shape of the Xperia line remains, and I'm a fan of it, Sony has also entered the camera island design aesthetic a la Google and Apple. What sets Sony apart from the others are the inclusion of front-firing stereo speakers and a good old headphone jack.
What?
Wow.
I don't care how good Bluetooth has gotten or how convenient it is. Nothing beats the sound of wired headphones, no matter the form factor. I miss the sound of my last pair of wired earbuds, which were a pair of expensive Sennheisers. I also miss the old days of mobile computing and its competing smartphone designs and operating systems. It was exciting and fun back then. Now all we have is an increasingly boring duopoly.
You've already said it. Times change.
Yes, they do. I do have more tech news this week, but the episode is going to be long enough. I'll save some for next week. Tech I'm using. The first thing that I did upon waking up Friday morning
was go to the restroom.
Now that I think about it, yes. What I was going to say is the first thing I did was order two iPhone 17 Pro Maxes. One in orange for my lovely wife. And one in blue for myself. This will be the first time I won't have a black iPhone. Stingy Apple gave us a little over $500 for the trade-in of our iPhone 15 Pro Maxes, but that pittance will still help alleviate, well, somewhat, the sticker shock. In years past, I'd order an Apple leather iPhone case to go along with my new phone. Of course, Apple stopped making leather phone cases a couple of years back, so I ordered a leather case from Nomad for my 15 Pro Max last time. This year, I decided to take a chance and order an Apple Tech woven case in blue.
What?
Tech-woven cases are the successor to the ill-fated vine-woven cases. Vine-woven cases look like they were made from old moth-bitten sweaters and stained easily. I think they were actually made from recycled cardboard and had the same durability of that material. These new tech-woven cases look better and are made of polyester. Hopefully these new cases won't suffer the same shortcomings of the fine-woven ones. Though I ordered the phones 15 minutes after the Apple Store app started accepting orders, my Blue Pro Max has a late September delivery date, while my wife's Orange Pro Max has a mid-October delivery date. I've since heard that the silver color was the least popular. I've also heard that the iPhone 17 Air isn't selling as well as the other phones, including the Pros and the basic model. And even days past the pre-ordering opening up, the 17 Air was still available for same-day in-store pickup when the phone releases on September 19th.
Uh-oh.
Many people probably decided to pass on the 17 Air for the same reasons I did. Too many compromises. And that most first-generation products are a gamble. I'm going to hold off on upgrading my second-generation AirPods Pro, being that they're getting most of the features of the new third-generation AirPods. I'll just wait until there's a sale on Amazon before picking up a pair. Same goes for the Beat Fit Pros. The new AirPods Pro give me a good fit, and the sound is actually improved. I'll just use them for working out also. Now that blood pressure monitoring is coming to my Apple Watch Series 10, I won't be in such a hurry to upgrade. I might just hang on to it until the battery starts to go. I held on to my Series 6 watch for almost 3 years before upgrading. I like what Apple has been doing with its earbuds and watches lately. Instead of forcing you to upgrade for a particular feature, the giant fruit company is steadily adding features to older hardware. Perhaps this is a signal that the watch will adopt a longer upgrade cycle similar to the AirPods. And why not? I've given up on not only social media, but of comment sections altogether. YouTube was the only place that I really bothered reading comments, but they've gone off the rails lately. OnlyFans bots, crypto scammers, and radical views from all sides of the aisle now rule the roost. This hasn't been happening for a while now. I did my civic duty reporting these to YouTube and others, but I've decided it's a fight I cannot win. I fondly look back to when the internet became a thing. For me, that was the early 1990s. I was able to have civil discourse on a range of subjects, regardless of what the ideology of the person I was chatting with had. All free of the spam and vitriol I constantly experience these days. I'd already given up commenting on all forums a long time ago and resigned myself to just reading. Now I can't even do that without becoming upset at what I'm seeing. Is this a symptom of society as a whole? Well, I don't know. For now, I'm just going to stay away from it all. I foresee that eventually you'll have to provide proof of identity in order to post comments on social media. Now, I don't agree with this, but something has to be done. Entertainment news. Well, last week I decided to do something I hadn't done in a while, and that's watching a National Football League game. I used to be an avid fan, but seeing the national anthem being disrespected weekly, slogans I don't agree with displayed on the field and upon players' uniforms, and the dismal play of my favorite team, the New York Giants, have all combined to keep me away for years now. The games that were available to watch in my area were of no interest to me, so I turned to my stable of FAST channels. FAST stands for Free Advertisement Supported Television. There's a bevy of these types of streaming channels these days. I first checked the granddaddy of all FAST channels, Pluto TV. Now in the past, you'd be able to find at least one NFL game. Well, there were none. I then checked Tubi, which is owned by the Fox Network. The last Super Bowl was broadcast on Tubi, so I figured there'd have to be an NFL game being broadcast. Nope. I checked a couple more FAST channels, but no dice. There was nary an NFL game to be found. What I think has happened during my absence from watching pro football is that the NFL has reined in rights to these games from the FAST channels. That's in order to maximize products for paid streaming services. What a shame. This will only serve to lessen exposure of the NFL, especially amongst the younger generations, if they're even interested in watching sports these days. These youngsters might have become interested if they could only access these games via fast channels, though. Again, we're seeing corporate greed in action. But this short-sightedness will only serve to further diminish audiences in the future. You remember the promise of cutting the cord and of streaming services when this all started? Well, instead of freedom, it's devolved into an entertainment prison. A prison you have to pay for in order to be locked up in it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Podcast news. The big news within the podcasting world last week was the sudden death of podcasting pioneer and CEO of the Blueberry Podcast Hosting Company, Todd Cochran. Mr. Cochran died while returning from a visit with his family on the West Coast. I became aware of Mr. Cochran some years ago through his new media podcast and became a fan. Todd Cochran was just 61 years old at the time of his passing, and he will be missed. AI slop has made its way to podcasting. AI slop is a term used to describe content created using this technology to generate content, in most cases substandard content, then post it to sites like YouTube in order to generate views, hence advertising money.
For some reason, I take offense to that description.
According to an article from TheHollywoodReporter.com, a startup company helmed by a former Wondery executive has started churning out 5,000 podcasts with over 3,000 episodes per week, all at a cost of $1 per episode. The name of the company is Inception Point and makes its money by attaching programmatic advertising to its output. If about 20 people listen to an individual episode, well, the company turns a profit. This large amount of content is put out by a staff of just 4 people. Inception Point claims that it takes about an hour to conceive, write, and publish an episode. When asked about their product being considered AI slop, CEO Janine Wright said, "I think that people who are still referring to all AI-generated content as slop are probably lazy Luddites." Unquote. Unfortunately, I think this company is onto something, well, at least for now. The Podfather, Adam Curry, recently weighed in on this during his Podcasting 2.0 show last week. He's all for this, but for reasons other than you would think. Mr. Curry predicts that, like AI-generated art, eventually this model will collapse because AI teaches itself by ingesting any data it can find. When a certain point is reached, AI will start ingesting itself, which will cause problems like hallucinating. AI hallucinating occurs when the client starts spitting out untruthful facts, representations, and so on. Strange times, I tell ya.
I'll agree with you there.
The music is again playing, and episode 286 of the OFNT podcast is becoming a part of podcast history. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Still no gates in my fence, but don't worry. This will make it easier for you to get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Go!
And that, folks, is the end of the show.